Hi, this is Kajitan, and I'm with Costa, who has graciously agreed to a few minutes of a chat. Costa, we can begin with a brief introduction, and if you can tell us a few things about yourself, just a few lines, and your motivation for being a speaker here at Foss North Gothenburg, where we are today.
Amazing. Yeah, my name is Costa. I am from Greece originally. I'm from Greece. And I'm living in Sweden for the last 5 years. Right now, I'm working as an engineer in Grafana Labs, and at my nights and weekends, I build Hop, which is a pair programming app. And of course, it's open source. We want to give back to the community. There wasn't any open source project for pair programming applications. And I thought of coming to Foss North to advertise this. It's built from Sweden, as I'm living here, part Swedish, part from the United Kingdom. So it was a great opportunity to talk to other like-minded people and spread the word that it's here, it's happening, look for contributors and spread the word out.
Awesome. So when building Hope Hop,
Hop on a call.
That's a great analogy. All right. Awesome. So I think one of the key experiences is latency. So when we speak of latency, what's harder? Is it to achieve low latency or the perceived latency? And if you can just let us know what is the difference in your mind.
So perceived latency and low latency are part of the same coin in pair programming, mainly because when you do an action, you need to see a reaction. So you need end-to-end, as soon as you click something on your teammate's computer, to have a reaction back to your screen. And the hard part when we started Hop was how we measure latency end-to-end. So when I make a click, goes to my teammate, the action gets executed, and we see back the result in our screen. So we need to find some interesting ways of how to measure this, and we find some hacks by watermarking images and then sending a tick event and then measuring back how it works. And then really trying to understand this beast of a technology called WebRTC and the internals of it. So how can we tweak the codecs? How can we tweak network configuration, jitter buffer? So anything that can minimize the latency while still having high definition image. So for example, in Hop, we serve 4K streaming by default, which means that we need to achieve low latency for 4K. And we needed to have also some trade-offs. So we know that if you're going to stream a video, it's going to be glitchy, basically, because we don't optimize for dynamic content rather than static content, like being in a Grafana dashboard, in a Google Doc, in your IDE, VS Code. So pretty static context. So basically, that's the full story around latency, how we optimize this.
Awesome. Speaking of WebRTC, in your experience building Hop, did it work out well, or where did it fail? Where did the abstractions of WebRTC really, sort of break down for you?
Yeah, WebRTC is a project with so many years of development, so it's fairly complex. And of course, it's steered from a big corporation to incorporate mainly the needs of browsers. If you think about it, it's heavily maintained by Google, it's optimized for browser and for web conferencing, so Google Meet. So we needed to deep dive into the internals. So that was a really hard part. My collaborator Riason did an amazing job of finding, for example, which knobs we could tweak to minimize the latency. Also, we used a LiveKit implementation that exposes things in Rust. So we needed to expose some parts that were not exposed, like the desktop capturer. So capturing the screen of your desktop, which we implemented upstream. Those are the weird parts of WebRTC. And of course, it's an amazing product. It's an amazing project because it provided us with infrastructure that we would need to build by hand, which is unfeasible. So Yeah, really grateful that this exists. Of course, it's complex, but it has really, really big gains in productivity.
You mentioned using Rust to build the core. Do you want to like double click on that? What benefits did it bring you, and where did it hurt you?
So Rust is amazing, and we had, of course, the choice to go with C++ and directly consume WebRTC or Rust. And we've made this decision early on. Mainly my collaborator, Ryasun, was working with C++, and he was done with it. So his day job is C++, but it's a language that doesn't have the modern toolkit for from martyrs to linders to anything that powers the developers nowadays. So that was a really great choice for us, and it's a delight to write. Of course, it's low level, so it's not like writing TypeScript, JavaScript, Golang, Python, etc. It's more low level, but still you can achieve a really, really critical performance, that the one that we need and we were looking for, while still maintaining the goods of the ecosystem, like package management, the crates, linting, formatting, and all the good stuff.
I want to talk a little bit about real-time synchronization and, on a related note, also responsiveness and what could be good enough responsiveness. What's the hardest part of trying to make this feel responsive enough or instant?
Yeah, nice question. This one, when we started working on this, we were setting the industry standards, and we found out from Apple's human interface guidelines that for something to feel native and super responsive, it needs to be 50 to 100 milliseconds fast. So from the action to reaction to be 50 to 100 milliseconds. So in our case, we decided that with network and encoding and everything, we would have a goal of everything to be below 100 milliseconds. So from streaming the image to implementing the action to getting the response back, our goal was 100 milliseconds. So that was our goal, which was really nice because that was our North Star when we started implementing this project, to have a real number in mind so we can minimize it.
Awesome. You're building Hop in public, and with that comes, as they say, the spotlight can be hot sometimes. So what are the things that brought about change in your decisions when you build in public, and is there something that you want to do differently next time?
So building public is amazing because every time a PR comes, a pull request comes from a contributor, or an idea comes, you literally want to rush and provide it to them. Of course, you need to make decisions around not to have a feature freak inside your app and implementing everything, so you need to be mindful, but at the same time is really amazing to see your project getting started, getting love from people. Also in our on our repository we have some good first issues, so if you're a new contributor and you want to contribute, we have a backend in Golang, we have parts of the app in JavaScript, TypeScript, React, we have Rust as a core service, so we have a plethora of languages if you're a new contributor and you want to get onboarded. So this also helped us get some new early contributors, which of course this saves us time, but also have them create contributions to show their CV and being active in open source. So this helped us. Of course, nowadays with the AI hype that's happening, we need to be careful. So we participated, for example, in Hacktoberfest in GitHub, and we received so many bad contributions that we needed to turn down. So you need to be also ready to turn down really sloppy ideas or implementation because they just use AI prompts, it comes and it doesn't make sense. So that's the trade-off, and you might appear that you are a little bit harsh on the public, and it happens in many open source open source projects right now, but it's the sad reality of AI coming to open source.
Costa, thank you very much for the time and the great insights. Looking forward and keeping fingers crossed for Hop to be widely adopted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.